Your Bible and turn to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter number 34. Ezekiel chapter 34, we have been discussing the idea of helping people, and I'm going to teach a lesson tonight. It is what you might call a bit philosophical, and we're not going to do what you would call a Bible study, but I'm going to show you something, and I want you to understand something. It's very big and very important to me as a pastor that we understand what I'm going to teach you tonight. Ezekiel chapter number 34. Look at me, if you will. I'm going to give you the title, and then the title will explain itself as the night progresses. This is lesson number 8 on the subject of helping people. The lesson tonight is called Helping People by Not Using Them. Helping People by Not Using Them. Ezekiel chapter 34, why don't you stand with me, and we're going to read together. We're going to start in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse number 1. I'm going to read out loud, and you can follow along silently. The Bible says this, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely, because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves, and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them." That's the scripture. Let me pray. Father, bless us now. Help me, Lord, as I teach a concept about people and helping people. May we all catch on to it and see it. It's simple, but yet, Lord, sometimes it eludes us. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll do a work tonight. Control my mind that I might stay on the subject properly. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. Passage of scripture that we just read, obviously, is talking about shepherds. Now, the shepherds in this passage of scripture, it's speaking of the leaders of the flock. It would be a pastor. And might I say also, the teaching here is not just for a pastor. The teaching here also is for all those who would help the pastor that would be in positions of leadership. Here at our church, it would be bus captains and Sunday school teachers and deacons and nursery people, those that help to lead. So there's a teaching going on here to the pastor and to those that assist him in leadership. The flocks. Who are the flocks? It's speaking of the flock and the sheep here. Of course, then, if the pastor and the leaders are mentioned, the flock then is in reference to the followers or the congregation and those who would fill positions of followership. If the bus captain is a leader, then the bus rider is a follower. And if the nursery worker is a leader, then the nursery child is a follower. And if the Sunday school teacher is the leader, then the Sunday school student is a follower. Now, God is disappointed in these leaders. He says in verse 2, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds." Now, that's pretty rare. God doesn't very often scold the shepherds in the Bible, but here he said, prophesy against these shepherds. And in verse 2, it says, "Woe be to the shepherds." So again, there's correction taking place here. In verse number 10, it says, "Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds." And again, God, that's real strong language for God. He is speaking of shepherds now. Now, God is so disappointed, he says, I'm going to take your flock away from you. He said that in verse 10. He said, I will deliver my flock from their mouth. And then, what have these leaders done that disappointed God so much? What has happened here in this passage of Scripture where God is saying, Shepherd, I'm disappointed. And remember, I don't think he's just disappointed in the pastor. I think he's disappointed in the leadership because they're mishandling something to the point where he said, I'm just not going to let you lead people. I'm just not going to let it happen. He's actually saying, I'm going to take the people away, and you're not going to get the chance to lead. He says in verse number 2, Woe to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Now, these leaders were using the flock for their own benefit. That's what was happening. The sheep had become food instead of the sheep being fed. Now, and the Lord's upset about that. The shepherd's growth had become more important than the sheep's growth. The leadership was more concerned about what they got out of it than what the sheep got out of it. I'm going to give you one of my primary beliefs. I'll use the term philosophy, one of my primary philosophies about church building and church work. I've always set the goal of not using my people to build the church, but it is my goal to let the church build my people. I learned that when I was a very, very young man, and you would be shocked at how many people don't understand that. You'd be shocked how many shepherds don't understand that. And remember the philosophy of this: I will not use my people to build my work, but I will use my work to build my people. I will not use my people to build my church, but I will use my church to build my people. Now, listen, God wants to use people. Now, when God uses people, he does it for the right reason and the right way. Look, when God uses people, did you know that it benefits the people more than it benefits God? He didn't have to choose to use you, and he didn't have to choose to use me. Believe me, he could have done it without us, and it would have been done right, without error. So why then would God choose to use me, or why would God choose to use you? Because that's good for me, or that's good for you. God chose to use man because of what it would do for man. And God here is saying to these shepherds, look, you're in it for you, but you're supposed to be in it for the people. Or he's saying to the shepherd, you're in it for you, and you were supposed to be in it for the sheep. Or pastor, you're in it for you, when you ought to be in it for the congregation or the people. When I was working at the First Baptist Church, I had a ministry called the Bible Club Ministry. And what we did is we would go to a public school, and we would actually start a club in the public school. It was called a Bible Club, and then we would teach and preach the Bible. We started, and we had about 24 workers. Many, many, many years later, when I resigned and went into the pastorate, now when I was a Bible Club leader there, I was part of the youth staff. And many, many years later, when I went into the pastorate, we had 400 workers. Now, that's 400 adult workers that helped us to reach the young people in the public schools. And you say, well, to what would you attribute growth at that level? I'll tell you why. I did not use the Bible Club workers to build the Bible clubs. I used the Bible clubs to build the Bible Club workers. Did you hear what I said? I didn't use, and see, these were Bible college students. I didn't use the students to build the ministry. I used the ministry to build the students. I never tried it. For instance, these college students, I didn't try to get all their money. They had school bills to pay. So when we were running this Bible Club ministry, I wasn't trying to fleece them of all their money. I didn't want to run their health in the ground. I was not trying to get something out of them when they were in Bible college. I was trying to put something into them when they were in Bible college. Mrs. Owens and I together, we started a young married couples class. It was called the Sweetheart Couples Class. We were given an empty room, and it was our job to go out and find married couples. One of the two had to be between the ages of 18 and 24 years of age. And if one of the two were that age, they would qualify for this young married couples. It was a Sunday school class. Our first Sunday, we had, I think it was 12 or 14 people. And in 14 years, we were running 500 people in that one married couples Sunday school class. You might say, how did it grow like that? Well, I think it has a lot to do with what I'm saying to you tonight. I didn't use the people of the class to build the class. I used the Sunday school class to build the people. And I couldn't tell you how many people are flip-flop on this whole thing. They think you're supposed to go out and get people to build the church. No, you're to let the church build the people. That's what it's really all about. We had a ministry that I overseen. It was called the E-Bus Ministry. Now, you have to understand, we had a lot of bus ministries. We had an A-Bus Ministry, and a B-Bus Ministry, and a C-Bus Ministry, and a D-Bus Ministry, and an E-Bus Ministry, and an F-Bus Ministry, and a G-Bus Ministry. And that's because they went to different areas, and we couldn't get them all in the buildings at one time, so everybody was on a rotation. Most of our bus ministry went to what you call very, very poor neighborhoods. I decided I wanted to try to run bus routes into the rich neighborhoods. And we were going into the $300,000 and $400,000 home neighborhoods, and we were building a bus ministry. And we started with no workers. But some years later, we had 100 workers that were going out and reaching people in these neighborhoods. And people would often say to me, how did y'all achieve that level of success? It has something to do with what I'm telling you right now. We weren't trying to use the people to build the bus ministry. We were trying to use the bus ministry to build the people. I pastored in West Virginia for years. When I first got to the church, they'd have about 130 people in Sunday school. 12 years later, we were running 1,200 people. And I mean, we were averaging 1,200 people in Sunday school. And someone would say, well, how in the world do you go from 130 people to 1,200 people in a matter of 12 years? Well, we tried to use the church to build the people. We weren't trying to use the people to build the church. And I believe the Lord is saying here to these shepherds, he's saying, you were busy, you were eating the sheep when you were supposed to be feeding the sheep. In other words, you were trying to get something out of them when your whole job was to put something in them. You see, I think, folks, if we're not careful, we hurt people by trying to get them to do what we're supposed to be doing for them. I'm not trying, let me see how to put it. I'm not trying to build this church. I'm trying to build this church's people. Some people, yeah, I know pastors that struggle terribly because they're trying to build a church. I'm not. I'm trying to build you and you and you and you and you. I'm trying to build you. I'm not, look, if all I wanted to do is draw a crowd, so I could build myself up, I'd drop a dress code, I'd drop the role model expectation, I'd get some contemporary music, and we'd have some contemporary services, and we'd start fellowshipping with a bunch of wackos that believe everything. I would have people speak for me that I don't believe like they believe, but they're attractive, and they could draw a crowd. And I wouldn't be King James Bible only. If I really wanted to draw a crowd, why not just drop all the stuff that we stand for and see if we could draw a crowd? But the problem is, I'm not trying to draw a crowd. I'm trying to help people. And I want to help people the purest way I know how. I'm not trying to build up our church's attendance. I'm not. I'm trying to build up the attendees. That's my goal. You won't find me brokenhearted if we set a goal to have 200 people and we have 190. You won't see me walking around bawling about it. My whole goal is helping the 190 that came. That numerical goals are okay. They did some of that in the Bible, but you just have to learn something from me. And you'll also find out, someone said to me, you know, boy, you had thousands. Well, why aren't you more excited? I said, well, the number really doesn't excite me. Helping the people, that's what excites me. That's what it's really all about. I don't care about the growth of these buildings. You've all heard me say this. I care about the growth of the people in the buildings. This is a gorgeous building, and thank God it's a miracle God gave it to us. But I wouldn't care if he gave us this or gave us some old factory. It didn't matter to me. I just needed a place to house the people, because that's what this whole thing's all about. I don't care about the growth of our offerings. I care about the growth of the giver. That's what it's really all about. It's not, you know, do you realize there are churches out there that want to see just how much money they can raise just because they want to do it? That's silly to me. And they want to see how nice and how big their buildings can get. Why? Why? They just want to see how many people they can get. I'm not just trying to see how many people I can get. We don't have an attendance board. I'm not against them. We don't have one, but it really wouldn't mean anything to me. You say, well, with an attitude like that, you'll never build anything. Well, I'll just keep on failing the way I do. But I just happen to believe that people are more important than money, and people are more important than buildings, and people are more important than fame. I'm not trying to build a great church. I am not. I have never tried to build a great church. I would like to build a great people. I'd like to build a great people. I want us to understand this. I believe this is, the whole series that I'm teaching right now, it's about helping people. And that's got to be our goal. Folks, never get your eyes off of that. Look, if Brother Armstrong, as people help us and they maybe join the crew to help take care of the grounds, always remember, the grounds are not the greatest issue here. It's the people. It's the people. I love a grounds ministry because it helps people. I love a nursery ministry because it helps people. Folks, you'll find this out about me. I don't want to go start a whole bunch of ministries so we can just put them out there on the sign and we can tell everybody how many ministries we have. I'm not in the ministry of the month club. Those ministries are not so I can tell the other churches down. You know, I don't go to their monthly meetings and all, but if I went to the preacher fellowships, I would have a hard time wanting to go in there and tell them about all the things we have down at our church. So y'all look at me and I'm Pastor Dr. Jeff Owen. That really doesn't mean anything to me. I don't care about that. What I do care about? Helping people. If there's a ministry out there and it doesn't help people, cancel it. What's the use? This isn't all about just showing off or having something. It's all about people. Now, stay with me. It gets simpler and even more practical. This is how I think. I don't want to use our bus workers to build our bus ministry. I want to use our bus ministry to build our bus workers. The captain. You make someone a captain, what does that do? It builds them. Teaches them to lead. It teaches them to love people. Boy, I'll tell you something. I'll never forget the day that I was made a bus captain. I was 16 years old. I didn't know nothing about nothing. And today, I barely know nothing. But you know something? That thing of letting me be a bus captain built me. I learned how to lead. I learned how to stand up in front of people. I learned how to care about people and meet their needs. Now, my pastor that made a dumb 16-year-old boy a bus captain, do you think he was really looking at me and saying, oh, this guy's going to build my church? No, I had the potential of destroying everything I touched at 16. You know why he did it? He was trying to make me. I can tell you something. I owe that man a great debt. He believed in me. He gave me a chance to lead and grow. I'm glad he had the right idea. the workers in the bus ministry. I'm not trying to use the workers to build the bus route. I'm trying to use the bus route to build those workers. They learn fellowship. They learn how to help people and lead people to Jesus and how to be patient with people. Even the drivers. Thank God for the drivers. But I'll tell you what, drivers, you sit on that bus, you're going to learn. You're going to learn about people and helping people and the patience and being faithful and reaching people. There is nobody that's ever served under me. Nobody. Nobody on the face of this earth could ever tell you and tell you the truth that Jeff Owens has ever scolded anybody about their attendance for their ministry. And so, you know, I've had thousands of leaders under me. And I know you think I'm exaggerating, but I mean, I've had thousands of leaders under me. Bus captains by the scores and Sunday school teachers by the scores. I don't scold people for attendance. You say, why? It's not all about attendance to me. You say, but you have all these big attendances. I don't know how it happens. I just know this. If you help people for the right reason, they're going to want to come get it. They're just going to come to it. And so it's not all about, hey, folks, so you know, I'm not trying to build the biggest church in Craven County or North Carolina or New Bern. I'm not. It doesn't matter to me. You say, well, what do you want to do, preacher? I want to help people. You say, how many? All of them. I want to help them all. I want to get them all saved. I want to salvage every marriage. I want to help every little boy and every little girl. I want to help the hungry. You say, how many? Just as many as we possibly can. But what's your numerical goal? I don't have any. I just don't have any. You know, if our attendance is down, I don't care that the attendance is down. But I'm scared to death for the people that were not here. I'm scared for them. I fear for them. See, I will not use my bus workers to build my bus ministry. But I'll use my bus ministry to build my bus workers. I'll not use my Sunday school teachers to build my Sunday school classes. I want to use my Sunday school classes to build my Sunday school teachers. Hey, if you're a teacher, I've never scolded you about your attendance. I don't do that. Listen, did you know something? Did you know that you learn more Bible by being a teacher than you learn Bible by being a student? Not every teacher in here could tell you that. You say, preacher, you gave me a Sunday school class, and I really don't know a lot about it. I know. But you know what? You're going to learn. And there's some of you, when I came to you, and I said, well, you want to be a Sunday school teacher? I remember some of you. You say, I don't know if I can. I'm not sure if I'm up to it. And in my heart, I'm thrilled with that. I'm just thrilled with it. Why? I want to grow you. I want you to learn. I want you to get it. Look, you say, preacher, I'm afraid to step up because I don't know a lot. None of us knew a lot when we first started. Look, I want you to learn how to help people and grow people. And so I'm not using the Sunday school teachers to build the Sunday schools. I want to use the Sunday schools to build the teacher. If you're an assistant teacher. Now, not every assistant teacher has to become a teacher someday. But you know, you become an assistant teacher. You get to watch the teacher. You get to grow so that you could someday, if you wanted, be a teacher. Say, what are you trying to get out of me? Nothing. Mrs. Owens and I, we've said this for years, and thank you so much. You all gave us a very generous gift for Christmas, and you gave us things for our birthday. And there are people in this room that heard me say this for years. I'm not here to get anything from you. Live right, do right, grow in the Lord. That's what I want. That means more to me than anything else. Look, in Sunday school, an assistant teacher, boy, they learn faithfulness. Hey, assistant teachers, let me tell you something. You ought to study the Sunday school lesson every week as if you're going to teach. Do you know that not all sickness, now I have people that can call me 4 days before they're going to teach and say, I'm going to be sick on Sunday, I just know it. Well, okay. Yeah, I know I'm going to check the TV guide to see what's on Sunday morning. That's what I'm going to check. But you know, not all the time do we have advance notice. There's sometimes somebody's sick, and at the moment they turn around, they have to go home. Assistant teacher, you better be ready to go. You say, oh, that's a little bit scary, I know, but that'll grow you. That will grow you. I believe that I don't want to use the bus workers to build the bus ministry. I want to use the bus ministry to build the workers. I don't want to use the Sunday school teacher to build the Sunday school class, but I want to use the class to build the teacher and the assistant teacher. To me, this is as obvious as the nose on the end of Brother Edwards' face. How can you miss that thing? But, folks, there are a lot of people that really do miss it. They do miss it. And I really believe there were some shepherds and leaders in the Old Testament that missed it. God said, what are you guys doing? I'm not going to let you help people. You were supposed to be helping the sheep, but you're not. You're doing things for yourself when you were supposed to be doing things for them. And there were some people in Ezekiel 34 that had the ministry philosophy flip-flop, and they were not doing it right. You take our Faith Promise missions program. I don't want to use us to build the program. I want the program to build us. Folks, you need to give to missions because it's good for you. It's good for you. We're told in the Scripture that we're to help missionaries. We're to get the gospel all the way around the world. Now, I can't take it all the way around the world, and you can't take it all the way around the world, so we make available for you to give to missions so that you can take it around the world. But, folks, we need to learn to care for missionaries, and we need to learn that. I know some people that it's almost as if their church or the leadership in their church want to be able to toot their horn about how missions-minded they are. Now, if a church is missions-minded, praise God for it. I'm thrilled with that. I want them to be. But it's not supposed to be a medal that you wear on your chest to show off. That's really not what it's all about. It's about helping people. That's what it's about. For instance, I don't want to use my nursery workers to build my nursery, but I want to use my nursery ministry to build my workers. You know, the nursery is a good place for you to grow. You say, how so? Good place for you to learn how to get along with other people. Look, you want a test of your ability to get along with people? You just watch other people's little ones. My boy bit somebody? No way! My child would not bite anything. Does he eat? Yeah. Does he bite his food? Yeah. Does he bite his sister? Yeah, but he wouldn't bite somebody else's sister. I tell you, you just work with people and their children for a little while. It'll teach you to get along with people. Hey, we have some standards and expectations. You say, well, why would you have standards and expectations? Because it grows people. It takes people places that they never thought they would go. It grows them up in the Lord. You know, I let our older teenage girls work in the nursery. You say, why? I want them to learn how to be moms. They need to learn how to change a diaper. All of God's men said, amen. Do you know, we live in a sad day when there are ladies that get married, they've never had anything to do with any little ones. They don't know what to do with them. You teenagers, now obviously we need workers in the nursery, but I want you to understand something. I'm not just trying to get something out of you. I want you to learn. You young ladies that work in that nursery, you watch that experienced mom and the teenage girls work with an adult lady in there. You say, oh, that was just an accident. There's nothing accidental about it. I did that on purpose. I want the young lady to be with the older lady. The Scripture teaches this, so that the older lady can teach the younger ladies how to attend to the children. I'm not just trying to get a staff of 50 people in the nursery. I'm trying to grow the nursery worker. I want them to learn. I want them to grow. I want them to serve God. Hey, it can help you to learn to be organized. You need to learn how to keep a little child's attention and how to change a diaper. And maybe some of you need to learn how to attend to three or four of them at a time. Next. You take just the people of the church in general. I tell you this: when there'll come a day someday that I'll be able to hire staff. But I got to tell you something: I don't always just try to hire finished products. Matter of fact, that can be a very dangerous thing to do. You hire somebody that says, well, I already know it all, then you won't work out well with me. I know a man, I will not say his name, but I know this for a fact. He started a Bible college, and he had what he thought was a very spiritual, strong, good idea. He said, I'm going to go across the entire nation, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to find men that are the experts in every area of the ministry. I'm going to bring them all in, and I'm going to have them work in my college. You know what happened? He did that. Went long until the experts in his college turned on him and virtually ran him out of his college, and his college is now a mess. It's a liberal mess. That man said to a younger man, he said, don't hire experts, hire people that are hard workers, that will be loyal, that will be trainable, and make your own. Build your own. That man built his own leaders. He hired people that maybe they didn't have a lot of experience, but you know what? They had a tender heart. They were learners. They were servants. And that college is still strong. You know, you take it. I've got men that are on my deacon board here. They help lead. But you know something? Being on the deacon board grows you. Wow, there are things you can learn on a deacon board that you might not learn anywhere else. Ushers. Thank God the ushers help around here. And I want them to help. But you know something? There's something you can learn by being an usher. Through the years, I've had a lot of people say to me, why did you pick old so-and-so to be an usher? Because old so-and-so needed, it's obvious, you see it, he needed to learn something. And that doesn't mean everybody that's picked to be an usher is shy or backwards. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, folks, when you're picked to do something, you're not picked because I think you're the greatest professional at it in the world. You're picked because I think it will grow you. Hey, being an usher can help you learn kindness and to come out of yourself and maybe a little aggression and a little alertness. You got to watch. Where are the seats at? Hey, is that a visitor? Do they need a visitor's card? What does the pastor need? What does that child need? Is that mother looking for the nursery? And if you're not learning that as an usher yet, you need to start learning that. That's why we put you in there. The greeters. It's good. Greeters learn. Greeters learn the responsibility. I mean, they got to be here on time. They got to learn to smile. They got to learn to be faithful. They've got to learn to be in their place. They need to learn people's names. They need to learn how to have that right attitude. Listen, all the positions in the church, to me, it's not all about just getting a bunch of people in position so we can say we've got a roster full. I never think that way. I think every position in the church is to grow the person in that position, so they're growing in the Lord. King's Kids workers, Flyers Club workers, they're learning to teach the Bible. And if they're a worker, then they're learning fellowship, and they're working with children. And look, there'll come a day, then some will find out, if they don't have children, being a worker in Flyers Club or King's Kid will help you to learn to rear a child at that level. And then you're working with experienced parents who have done it before, and they know what they're doing. You even take... And in time, we've got some ladies that help us decorate here at the church, but in time, we'll have more than a few. We'll have lots of them. You say, how many? Oh, I don't know. My last church, I had over 200 that helped to decorate. You say, 200 people? You say, that's an exaggeration. Yeah, whatever. But I'm just telling you. Well, why would you do all that? Oh, they learned and they grew, coordinating things and learning things from one another. I always thought that's what the church was all about. I thought it was all about growing people. And so you all know, the decorations are important to me. The decorators are supremely important to me. The nursery facility, I want it clean and nice, and it's important. But those babies are very important to me, and those workers are very important. Thank God for the buses, and I hope someday we get a whole fleet of them. But so you know, the fleet doesn't make me feel like Hertz rent a car and we've got a big fleet and we're bigger than Avis. I don't care about that. But I care about every bus driver. And I care about every captain. And I care about every worker. And I care about every child that rides the bus. That's what it's really all about. Soul winners. Folks, so you know, if you say, preacher, you just keep telling us we ought to go soul winning because you're just trying to gild a big church. I've never said anything about a big church. Did you know going soul winning is good for you? It helps people. It's the best thing for you. You get rewards in heaven. If you're a youth worker, you work in Youth Ablaze. Look, that's good for you. That will grow you. If you work in children's church, that can be good for you. And I know I've asked certain people, I said, would you like to be a worker in children's church? Well, I don't know anything about it. And to me, that just thrills my heart. Because I think, I know. I want you to learn it. I want you to learn how to, well, watch Brother Young and watch how he keeps their attention and watch the organization of it and watch. You need to learn that. Folks, we're all supposed to be growing. And if you want to help people, I believe you're not supposed to use people, but we are to serve and help people. And I know, please don't misunderstand, God uses us and we will give you a chance to be used, but it's not all about what you get out of it. I'm not to give you a position to see what I can get out of it. I'm to give you a position to see what you can get out of it, what God will do with you. The music program. Listen, everybody that's in the music program, let me explain something to you. You'll watch some people, they'll have to grow. They might not, you might have somebody that's working in the music program and maybe this group or this singer or that pianist, and you say, well, that didn't really go all that well. That's okay. We'll be all right. Look, if the only people that we ever use, folks, are finished products, I guess none of us are going to be used, huh? I guess we might as well all go home. Now, I think it ought to be done right. And I think God deserves the best. We're all to strive for excellence. But you'll find this out about me. If it falls apart on you a little bit, we'll be okay. I'll still love you. We'll just learn from it. And then we'll grow. And next time it'll be better. But that's the way it is. You say, well, I'm a perfectionist. You're a perfectionist in certain parts of life, but I could show you other parts of life. You're not a perfectionist. There are some people here, you're a perfectionist on paper, but you're an attitude hag. I all sorts of people just like to give us the impression, I've got it all together. Well, you know, no, you don't. You can grow too, and you can learn too. In every area, we're to grow. Now, so you all understand, one of my jobs as the pastor is to lead the church, but also I need to help train the leaders that help me lead the church. And so you understand, it's my responsibility to do that. And I'll say this gently but firmly. This is the style of leadership I approve of in the church. And if you lead otherwise, you and I will end up having a talk sooner or later. Because I want to lead right. I want us all to lead right. Bus captain, grow your people. Sunday school teacher, grow your people. Nursery worker, grow the people. It's not all about just the attendance. It's about the people. Now, I'm going to tell you a little secret that I learned. If you will grow the people, your attendance will grow. Now, I know all sorts of people that try to grow their attendance, and they can't. Stop trying to grow an attendance. Start trying to grow the attendees. And somehow, God just makes it happen. There are Bible colleges that I think get very mixed up. Bible college students move away from home, and they go to a Bible college. And if the Bible college is not careful, they'll try to use the student to build their church. You know what I believe? I believe I was supposed to use the Bible college to build the student, not the student to build the ministry. That's what the local church is all about. I don't believe in disposable people. I don't believe you use them up and toss them aside. I don't believe that at all. Sometimes then, when you do this, you take chances on people. You give somebody a chance that maybe otherwise wouldn't get a chance. But remember, now I think there are certain expectations. I think, if you're going to serve God in the church, you need to be saved. And you can follow the Lord in believers' baptism. And there's certain things you can do. But when it comes to the talent or the ability, everybody has to start somewhere. So we've got to give a chance. Listen, I go back to this. There were some shepherds in the Old Testament. And the Lord said, you guys are messing up. And if you analyze what the Lord said to him, said, You were supposed to be doing things for the sheep, and now you got the sheep taking care of you. That's not what true spiritual leadership is. Folks, all of us, to whatever degree we lead, it's our job to help the follower succeed. We're to love the follower, help the follower succeed, help the follower to learn and grow. And I'm going to make you a great big promise. If you'll learn that, you will grow faster than if you spend your life trying to grow yourself. I would rather have someone that had been in the foxhole and experienced it than to have somebody that went through officer's candidate school telling me, well, I read it in a book. Well, these bullets are going to cause you to bleed real blood, not just a word B-L-O-O-D that showed up on page 12 of the book. Folks, we've got to help people. Now, I've told you my whole goal for Twin Rivers Baptist Church. I want to get everybody saved and help as many people as we possibly can. I have no numeric goal in mind. Say, why? Why limit myself? Why limit myself to a number? How about just go as fast as I can and reach as many people as I can and help as many people as I can, and we'll just see what God can do. But if you get caught up in that other part, that'll mess you up. Get you off track. It becomes vain, arrogant, proud, competitive. And competition's not bad. I'm competing with hell. But I'm here to tell you, unhealthy competition is when you're not helping the sheep. You're helping the reputation of something. If I want to build my reputation, I didn't need to come to New Bern, North Carolina. I didn't come here to build my reputation. I came here for one sole purpose, to help build you. And some of you, I didn't even know you then. But God brought you so we could help build you. And I'm grateful to my God, because this is exactly how he's taught. This is exactly how he's treated me. If I fall on my face, he helps me up. He gives me things I don't know anything about. I'm thinking, how in the world am I going to do this? He said, I don't know, boy, figure it out. And I had to figure some things out along the way. You know, God's never come to me and said, I am so disappointed with your attendance today. Never. Not one time has he ever scolded me for my attendance. I've scolded me. Others have scolded me. God's never. Because I think we'll reach them if we've got the right attitude. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You probably don't realize how powerful the philosophy I just taught you is. I truly believe it is a root and foundational belief that helps a church stay pure, its intent, with its sincerity. Let's all practice it. Let's work at it. Let's be good to one another at it. We're going to have a time of altar call. You need the altar, you come. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Just remember, our whole goal is helping people. The position in life that you fill, it's really all about growing people and helping people and reaching people. Don't get caught up in, mine's bigger than yours and I've got more people than you do. Keep the right attitude about reaching people. Decide people is what it's all about. Remember the philosophy, I will not use my people to build my ministry. I will use my ministry to build my people. If you just remember that, it's a wholesome, pure, it's a right way to approach things. Oh, I'm not saying that you can't set a goal on your bus route. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. It's okay. Nothing wrong with a church setting an attendance goal. It's okay. But never let that goal become your purpose. Your purpose is the people. Thank you, Sarah. If you look this way, it'll...